Father, thank you for this time to be with each other, laugh a bit, have our minds stimulated and challenged. Lord, bless these scriptures to us now. Speak to our hearts again, Lord, as you've been doing this morning. Hallelujah. We praise you, Lord, and we praise you for this opportunity. In Jesus' great name, amen. Amen. So, in John, what I see in John is the apostle of love writing and describing things. He was very clear that he was writing so that we might believe. That we might believe. And so he has all these stories. And so often, as you know, he takes, you know, he used situations to teach spiritual truth. And it's great. And if we read in the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, which are very similar, we read about the communion, right? Jesus took the bread. Jesus took the cup and shared it with them. But really, John is very spiritual. And he's talking so much more about spiritual communion. That's the thing, you know, and starting, say, in chapter 13, where they're in the upper room and they have the supper and these things begin to happen. It's so spiritual. And John is doing his very best to bring in the spiritual truth of communion with God through Jesus Christ. Yeah, Jesus was so adamant. Peter said, "Don't wash my feet." And Jesus said, "I must. I must." Okay. Okay. I must be. I'm here to identify with mankind. I'm here to wash people's feet, the Lord showed. Follow my example, he said. Me personally, I don't take that chapter to teach that we should literally wash each other's feet, but go ahead and do it. We're free. You know, the Bible says, the New Testament says we should lift holy hands. But Paul and the others, they don't say when. We don't have to be clones. Okay, everyone lift your hands. Well, that's okay, but you know, we're not clones now. We don't tell each other what to do. But so, from time to time, God wants us to lift our hands. That's an example of, Lord, you know, how do I worship? What do I do? And there's these little teachings along the way. And if we'll simply be good children and do as he says, we'll be free and we'll learn what it is to be a human being. God will unlock the deep, dark chambers of our hearts and lives, and he'll bring light in. Light. Oh, that's what a man is supposed to be. I mean, some of us men, sometimes we think we got it all together. Well, this is what a man should be. Take a hammer, start pounding nails, you know. Well, I became a man when I was about 7. You know, I took some nails and I nailed them all in this board, right? But of course, God had to teach me a lot more, right? And sometimes we think to ourselves, who am I? What should I do? How dare I do something? I'm amazed at people who, I don't know, like Tom, you know, he went out and did it. I mean, most people have Most people have struggles with smoking until they're like 50 years old. He quit when he was 7. Huh. What? Figure that out, huh? Well, then that means, what was he, a nicotine addict when he was 3? That's a new one for me. I like that. Oh, 5, okay. Oh, sorry. Oh, but we've got so much to learn. Anyway, brethren, it moves on, and Jesus gives his great prayer in chapter 17. I don't think he was trying to be great. He was just sharing his heart. And it was all about communion, that they might be with me where I am, that they might behold my glory. Communion, not just drinking a little cup of juice or wine and eating some bread, right? Though that's important, and we do it. But communion, you know, adoption. Paul says, joint heirs with Christ. Joint heirs. That will never cause me to be an only begotten child. Jesus is the only begotten. He was the one who was very God, and he was begotten in this spiritual unity with the Father. I was adopted. But you know what? Jesus isn't like the Cinderella story where he rejects everyone who's adopted in. You're not good enough. You're not good enough. Wash my clothes. Wash the floor. He's like, here, I'm here to wash your feet. Joint heirs with Christ of all that's God's. This is the communion. So Jesus is crucified. And then in chapter 20, isn't it something, you know, forget what the politically correct people are saying. Forget those who feel like they have to lobby to get a voice. Look at Jesus. The first one who saw him was Mary Magdalene. Now the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early. Well, she didn't see him there. And then there's this great foot race, which is greater than the one that Eric Little ran when Peter and John ran. And I don't know, was it Peter who ran faster, huh? John? You're right. And then Peter went in, whereas John stayed at the threshold, huh? Okay, I'm getting older. Hallelujah. I guess we hope we can forget the bad things and remember the good things. But verse 11, but Mary stood outside by the tomb weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. Must have been a short door, huh? I don't know, maybe it went down, must have gone down. looked into the tomb and she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and one other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. Then they said to her, woman, why are you weeping? Well, they must have known, but you know, sometimes when we start conversations, you know, there's a way. We shouldn't just, you idiot, what are you doing? Come on, get a grip. Jesus is risen, you know. Why are you weeping? I want to hear what you have to say. A counselor has to be a good listener as well as a good talker. Anyway, then they said to her, woman, why are you weeping? She said to them, because they've taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him. Now when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, woman, why are you weeping? Who are you looking for? Who are you seeking? She, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away. We love this story, don't we? Why couldn't she recognize him? She called him Lord. She said, what have you done with my Lord? I'm looking for my Lord. And he was not in glory. He must have looked like a gardener. It's okay to be a gardener. It's okay to be a cook. It's okay to be a waitress. It's okay to be a handyman, you know. Jesus said to her, Mary. She turned and said to him, Rabboni, which is to say teacher. Jesus said to her, do not cling to me. Don't cling to me. Maybe she fell down. Maybe she started hugging his legs. Maybe she started kissing his feet. Who knows? She'd done it before. But that's something to just wonder about. Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Wow, Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. Jesus spoke to me, Peter. John. She wouldn't have done that, but she could have, huh? He spoke to me. What do you think of that, huh? I love the scene in Back to the Future where they're in the West, you know? And Tanner shoots the little, what was his name? Marty, yeah. And he's like, remember that? I just thought it was great. Mary could have been like that, you know? But, sorry here. She told them. Jesus had spoken to a woman, you know? Jesus loves women. Jesus has no issue with, he doesn't look down on women. He's the great champion of women's cause, isn't he? Forget all the stuff going around in America and in the world. I love this. I love this. I don't know how he said Mary. Perhaps we could practice it, but it's more than that. You know, it's Mary, Richard. Oh, I would love to hear that. I have in my heart, but to meet him, and he says, Richard, that's what we need, that's what we want, really. Yeah. I don't listen to Christian radio much, but there was a guy talking about, I wish I could remember exactly how it was put, but it's not according to, I can't even say it, but it's not by what we achieve. It's about who we are. We're sons and daughters of God. Sure, we're supposed to achieve. We're supposed to bear much fruit. We're to do many works, but it's according to who we are that we are sons and daughters, not by our own grace or power or good looks or great talents or intelligence, but because God loves us, you know, and that's like fundamental great message, isn't it? That God loves us. It's easy to say. Sometimes it's harder to believe after all our little stupid failures and, or maybe great failures. But this is the thing that I want to get to. He says, I go to my Father and your Father. Tell my disciples, I go to, he says, I and to my God and your God. Can we fathom that? That Jesus, talk about him going to great lengths, huge lengths, great pains, literally, to be able to include us. That he's my God and he's your God. That doesn't mean Jesus isn't God, but he's talking now about him, I think, as a human being, as a man, and relating to us as human beings, that God is his God and our God. Talk about communion. Can we try to push that limit of what it means to be a son or daughter of God further and further? What it means to have all. You remember the prodigal? Let me turn to that. You don't have to now, but you know, this was revelation to me when I was when I used to live as a single man in a house with three other brothers in near Chicago. Our dear friend Mr. North, G.W. North, who some of you might know, had written a letter, and for some reason he wrote in it something about the prodigal son. But I want to read Luke 15:31. And this is the father now talking to the quote-unquote good son who was angry. Son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. Did that ever register in your mind and heart? Son, you're always with me, and all that I have is yours. Now, what are we willing to believe, huh? The great thing about faith is that God gives more and more light, and we can believe. And we never enter in by our good works, but by believing. We think, and He's writing to you and me, whether you're a good son or you feel you're a bad son. Son, you're always with me. And all that I have is yours. That was the picture about Abraham and Isaac. It says that Isaac didn't have to do anything. He got everything. Everything. And that's often what happens with, you know, parents willing their what they have to their children. You get everything. Don't worry about it. You're always with me, God says. And all that I have is yours. And this was purchased on the cross, of course, that Jesus died, as we all know. Shed His blood to wash away our sins. Rose up where He could pour out the Spirit, where we could become sons. I say sons and daughters, but you ladies should feel very privileged to be called a son. I mean, that's kind of strange, isn't it? I don't have a thing about that, but sons. In the Old Testament, it was the sons who got, you know, the firstborn son got twice as much. Give me a break. Why is that fair? He didn't work. He just got born first. I don't like him. But that's what they did. The sons. But the men and women are included in sonship. So anyway, so if you've got issues with those things, just lay them down. Say, Lord, teach me what it is to be a son. I mean, a lot of women feel that they've got to work to prove that they're as good as a son. You know? You don't have to prove it. I mean, we've got two daughters, no sons. I don't know why. God knows. But we love them, you know. Of course we do. And I never really had an issue of, I need a son. I need a son. But what Jesus said here, tell my disciples, I'm going to my Father and their Father. My God and their God. Huh. Okay? Jesus, He really comes alongside us. He doesn't flaunt His glory, though He's, you know, when I don't call the Father Dad. There's no rule that says you shouldn't. And we understand why we might say that, but He's my Father, you know. I mentioned yesterday morning, He's not my, well, in a sense, He's my mother, but we don't call Him mother. Because fathers generate life. The seed comes from the Father. That's the important thing. Not from mother. Mothers receive the seed. Men give the seed. And there's something about the Father. He generates life, right? He creates life. He initiates. Praise the Lord that He initiated in my life. Praise God that He wasn't just someone else do it. I can't do it. Someone else go out and reach Richard. But God did. He's a Father. He initiates. Praise the Lord. And we might consider, are there things I need to be initiating? You know? What do I need to be initiating? What have I been sitting back, you know? I mean, sometimes it is true that we men can feel, every relationship's different, but some of us can feel less like, oh, it's my wife who's the great head of glory, you know, and I can't do anything. I might as well go out and drink. You know, that's what a lot of men do. I can't do it. I can't do it. And that's why men are to be respected and felt like there's something, you know. And even if we're not, but I think in some ways we are. But anyway, that's not my point here. Just this, how he's including us. Let me read a couple of things. And where did I see the time? Oh, I always try to respect the time. So I mentioned about the prodigal son, Ephesians chapter 1. These great things. You know, to hear this from the different people in the Bible. Hang on here. I love small Bibles, but the pages are so thin. It takes me half an hour just to get 3 pages back. Well, I do exaggerate. Like the teacher said, I told you a million times not to exaggerate. So Paul's writing, verse 2, grace to you and peace from God the Father, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Can you argue with that? What does that mean? I don't know, but well, I do know some of it. He's blessed us with every spiritual blessing. I remember seeing, you know, we used to have cassettes, right? And we had a bunch of cassettes from some of the conferences in England, and one was titled "He Has Blessed Us" by Norman Meaton, who I think the world of. He has blessed us. And I thought, I just thought it must be about the conference, that God's blessed the people in the conference. But then I heard him speak, and he spoke from this. It's not just that he's blessed our meeting or our conference, but he has blessed us. Paul is saying to the world, he's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies, in Christ. Why is Christ so important? Why is it so important to be born again? Because it's in Christ that we receive every blessing. And Paul proceeds, basically in the first 3 chapters to describe it. And then in the next 3 chapters, basically to say how we can have it, how we're to maintain it, this understanding and the realization of it. But think of it, let it blow your mind, if I can use that hippie expression from years gone by. Wow! Let it open up our minds, our hearts, our spirits, our souls. Look at this! He's blessed us with everything in Christ. You know, that's enough to get you just to spend your next week thinking about. Though I know there's lots of things, but He's blessed us. I don't know, you know, we're not talking about money, obviously. We're not talking about, I'm finally famous, or whatever it is that we sort of have these things we dream about. But He's blessed us with His life, His character, His fruit. You know, He's blessed us. He's blessed us. What a verse, man. And then in chapter 2, you know, salvation isn't just forgiveness of sins. You all know, you've got some good preaching and teaching here. It's about being raised up together with Christ into the heavenlies. That's what it is. How can I live right? It's because I've been lifted up in Christ. It's always in Christ with Paul. Raised up. I know, you know, I slug in the mud sometimes working. You guys do too. Dust, dirt. I mean, isn't it amazing how you have, when you remodel a bathroom, especially the old houses? I did this one because, I'm kind of ignorant. I'm sort of leaping into this handyman stuff. I put a new bathtub in and a new surround. But you know what? This is one of those old houses. It's got concrete and wire mesh. Like this thick. Yeah, any of you guys remove that? Yeah. A few ladies. Hallelujah. Oh, man. Dust and dirt and mess. And so then I used a grinder and I cut the tub in half. And I couldn't budge the thing. I was planning on making some more cuts. And I was down in the basement, and this Chinese fellow who was the head of the home, and his wife wanted this work done, and I'm hearing this. I had a sledgehammer, and I'm hearing this boom, boom. I'm thinking, man, this house is going to fall down, you know. Boom, boom. And I got up there, and he got the thing moved. Wow. But isn't that the way in our lives, huh? Okay, Richard, we're removing the cast iron tub today. It's going to hurt. There'll be some dust flying, but we're going to do it. And then you're like, ah, oh, what a day, right? But he does it. He does it. And of course, the end product is like, you never knew anything went on in there. I mean, think of these walls. Tom was saying, man alive, putting a drywall up on top here. That's hard, isn't it? And then muddying and sanding. It's like, boy, if you got a, you know how these sports figures, they sometimes give them a mic during, they're out in the outfield playing baseball or whatever. And you'd hear me groaning. Anyway, nevertheless, my point is, he has blessed us. And we're living here on this dirty world, but we're in the heavenlies. And I don't always feel that, you know. Kathy talked about feeling loved from head to toe. She's not one of these who says, I feel the fire, you know. But she was blessed, weren't you? Yeah. Praise God. So think about that. You know, it seems to me there's no limits except that we're not only begotten. We are adopted sons, but joint heirs with Christ. Joint heirs. Joint heirs. There's been a covenant made. There's been a will made. The testator has died, and the will has taken effect. Now it's mine. We don't know. We've had billions of bucks put in our bank accounts, and we don't even know it. Take it, withdraw some, you know. Start withdrawing. It's yours. Well, wouldn't that, you know? If you recorded that little bit of my talk, you'd be like, he just talks prosperity. That's not the thing. I mean, money is just a tool in this crazy world, but it's the life of Jesus that I think about. Very quickly, Romans 8:29. Paul says it again. I love this. I love these verses. You know, how do you come once and talk about everything in the Bible? Because you just want to share everything, right? But verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good, for those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. We're in the tumbler. It's good. Sometimes we cry out in pain. But we're in the tumbler, and it's good. And we're going to be shiny, polished stones. Wow. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. That's the thing again. We read the word brethren, right? The firstborn among many brethren. Well, he always has been, but Paul's referring to Him as being made a man and showing that He was the perfect man, the man to be, I was going to say copied, you know what I mean? Imitated. But the one whose spirit is now in us, the great Son. Yeah, but that's the thing. And in verse 17, 14, for as many as are led by His Spirit, are by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the Spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Perhaps that's Dad, I don't know, but anyway, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we go through the tumbler, with him, that he may also be glorified. We may be glorified together. Huh? Let's go through it. Close the door, Lord. Turn on the engine. Okay. Let's not lose sight that God's, in this picture, God's out there. Just waiting, just waiting. The tumbler's going. It's going to work. All the things in your life are good. That's why Paul could say, all things work together for good. Because he was in that tumbler as well. And he was polished. He was polished. He was polished. Stones are hard, huh? Hard. He's got a head as hard as a rock. Yeah, but may the Lord polish it, huh? I guess that's what he does with men, huh? Polishes the head sometimes. Okay, one more, and I'll stop, and I'll be penalized here. But 1 John chapter 3. First John. I love John. I love John. You know, you can read 1 John and see what the how you know you're born again. The signs. The signs. Nothing about tongues. It's much deeper, huh? Though we believe in the gift of tongues. But the signs. He that is born of God. And then he'll say something. But in chapter 3, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God. My Bible says exclamation mark. I'm not sure what the original has. Therefore the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, now are we children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him. Isn't that like Paul? We've been predestined to be conformed to the image of Christ. We shall be like him. Predestination. I'm going to talk about it for the next 3 hours. Not really. What do I believe? I can't say it's a deep subject. It is a deep subject. But I think it's like receiving a train ticket. Well, we've got a plane ticket. And it says Sioux Falls. That's predestinated. A destination that has been set beforehand. And if we follow the rules and don't try to bring a horse on the plane and say it's my friendly, what do they call it?
Service.
But there's another thing, like my friend or my emotional support. Oh man, I can understand a horse being emotional support, but I think Jesus is a bit better, don't you? Anyway, if we follow the rules, we're going to get there. Hey, predestinated. We are predestined to be conformed to the image of Christ. That's God's plan. You've got the ticket. Hold on to it. Don't let anyone take it. Predestined, it says, I'm going to be in the image of Christ. I'm going to heaven. Hallelujah. I don't know if that's too simple, but that's great. And John says the same thing. Look, he says, what manner of love. This is the thing John couldn't. What's the word? Process. Still processing. He says, we shall be like him. We shall be like him. This is what men want. I mean, men don't want to just pick up a pneumatic drill and be able to drill screws in a wall. But we want to, well, all of us want to be somebody. You know, particularly men want to be saviors with a little S. And men want to save, you know, a man wants to save a woman from loneliness and whatever, you know? And I think if women are honest, many want to be saved by a man, you know? I'm not talking weird, or I'm not saying that's wrong, you know? Yeah, this man came and, yeah, I want to take his name. Huh? When we're born again, we take the name of Christ. We don't say, not Richard Peralski, if any of you can say that. Richard Peralski. Yeah, I'm a Christian, but I've got my identity. We don't do that. We say, I was lost, but now I'm found. I was a wretch, but Jesus saved me. I'm a Christian. Yeah. I'm a Christian. I'm a believer. I love Jesus. Praise God. I think I'm finished. I don't mean in the... I mean at the moment. What do you think? I don't think we need to have a call to the front, but you know, when we hear the word of God, and if something strikes our hearts, it's to be mixed with faith. Mix it with faith. Everything we have is by faith, and God, as we go on in life, opens our eyes a little bit more. A little bit more. Ah, I saw something today. Isn't that great about the word of God? If you have, you know, just thank the Lord and say, Lord, this is great. I love you. I now have Spurgeon's morning and evening as a gift. Today he was talking about, this morning about, I don't know, what was it? Praising the Lord, thanking the Lord. I think it was Psalm 147. There's so much to be thankful for. Let's pray. The Lord speaks, we believe. If the Lord spoke anything fresh or new or challenging or further or open your eyes more, just believe. Just perhaps seal it in your heart. Lord, I take this. I take and you undertake. I give my life to thee, and thou, according to thy word, dost undertake for me. You're bigger than me, Lord. You're higher, you're further, you're deeper. Oh, Lord, but you've come into my heart and life. If somebody here has never given their life to Jesus, now's the time. No one forced me to become a Christian, to believe, never. I wouldn't allow it, and we shouldn't allow it. It's not a matter of force. It's a matter of choice. You don't have to worry that people are going to pounce on you and enslave you to their ways or their traditions, but you will become a slave of God, a servant of God, a friend of God, and a son of God. Amen. Amen. So let's just all pray. Lord, thank you for this morning. Thank you for these brethren. Thank you for the wonderful worship time. Thank you, Lord, that we can look into your word and either hear new things or be wonderfully reminded of what we have in Christ. Father, when you created the world and everything in it, the stars and the moon and the sun, wisdom was there. All this in this world is a result of wisdom. You do all things well. God is good all the time. Amen. Lord, enlarge our hearts. Increase our faith. Right now, Lord, hear those who may be saying, yes, yes, I embrace this. I accept this. I believe this, not just with my mind, but with my heart and soul, my strength. I believe you, Lord. Show me more and more, Lord, about who you are, what it means to inherit all that Jesus has, what it means, take away our love of earthly things, Lord. put them in perspective as we love wife or husband or children or parents or a job or whatever. Put it in perspective, Lord, that we may love You with all our heart. Thank You, You've made it available. We really praise You. Lord, we praise You for all the work You've done. We pray that we will become sensitive to the heartache of others. We pray that as far as it lies in us, that nobody will fall through the cracks, that nobody will be forgotten, that nobody will be ignored. We pray for those shy, quiet ones who really want to be loved, Lord, that they won't run away, they won't hide, but somehow that Your love will just grab hold of their hearts and lives, that the love of brethren will touch their hearts. Amen. Lord, we pray for those with infirmities, with hurts, with pains, those older ones, all the pills we take. Oh God, in the final analysis, we depend on You. We pray that You'll minister to our hurts and pains, to our needs, Lord, that we may be still equipped, that we may go on, that we may be able to help others. Minister Your life to others, Lord. Amen. Cause the elderly to be fruitful in these later years, Lord. Fruitful. Help the younger to seek the wisdom of the elders, Lord. The elderly, not just the elders in the church. Amen. Lord, thank You. We praise You for joy in the church and in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.